what powerful songs this morning remind us of how amazing God is and how much He loves us and how much He was willing to do for us. Matthew 28 says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And His appearance was like lightning and His clothing white as snow. And for fear of Him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, 'Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He has risen, as He said. Come, see the place where He lay. Then go quickly and tell His disciples He's risen from the dead. And behold, He is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see Him.'" Oh, see, I've told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell His disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of His feet and worshiped Him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there I will see them." Oh, isn't that amazing? That's the story that Christian, that's what we hold to. That's what we believe in. That's what we know to be true. And that is what our hope is, that Jesus has risen from the dead. Everything centers around that one fact. Isn't it amazing? Well, this morning you're going to hear a couple of stories. One from the couple that come on video. One is from our missionary couple. One is from one of our family members here at the church, a young lady who has a powerful story of transformation of Jesus in her life. And Deb Disler is going to come and share her story as it is fresh and new and how it centers around the resurrection of Jesus. And we're just going to enjoy the powerful testimonies. And together, let's be reminded as we do that of our story of what God has done in our lives. You know, this last Good Friday, this 2 days ago, we were blessed to have our granddaughter, our new granddaughter born. What a powerful weekend to have a granddaughter born to represent new life. And Madeline Blake was born, just excited about her. But again, just a reminder of the new life we have, spiritual new life through Christ, through His death and resurrection on the cross. So let's be reminded of how God has impacted our lives, this history of our history. You know, I wanted to share just a moment before we start the videos of another story. One of our gals who's here in the building today doing our tech, Annette Price. Some of you know the story, but just almost 7 years ago, this July would be 7 years, Annette was crossing 15th Avenue by the hospital, and she was struck by a truck and trailer that didn't see her. And the impact of the truck going at full force sort of take her left side of her body and broke a lot of stuff. It folded her head, hit the hood of the truck, and then she was thrown 200 feet and landed on the pavement where her head hit the pavement again with a double impact. Just a terrific event of history. But you heard what I just said, right? That Annette's in the building. You know, the great thing about that was that Doug had got a hold of Noreen and I, and we got and met him at the hospital later, and we finally were able to go into the emergency room where she was and to offer prayer before she went into surgery, her first one. And when I looked and came in and I saw her lying on the gurney, I could have never have known it was Annette. If Doug wasn't with us, if Doug hadn't brought us in and they had said this was Annette, wouldn't have known it. I honestly, in those moments, you just don't know if they're going to make it. And I didn't see her again. I know Doug had Annette's phone. And, so I contacted him through the phone. But Noreen and I felt terrible. We were going to go on holidays just a week later. And Doug said, "Don't worry about it. You know, she's well cared for." And they had been flown to Vancouver. And, you know, after our holiday, about halfway in, I called Doug on the phone, and Annette answers the phone. Like, come on. I almost fell out of the car. I mean, amazing story of what God did. I mean, literally, God resurrected her because she could have easily died and should have died. Amazing story, a wonderful testimony, and beautiful how God has changed her life over these some 7 years. I just want to read a few thoughts from Annette this morning before we run our videos. It says, many of us think we really believe in our good, good Father. But until we are tested in some way from our God, when it's really, we find this out, how we really stand. That day came, the test was on. Even those who tried to play God to save her, you know, the outcome was grim, not good. While in a coma, I heard a conversation that I may not make it. I tried frantically to respond, of course couldn't, but my only hope then was to respond to God, and a miracle happened. With years of rehabilitation and limitations, I'm here, and I believe in a very good, good Father. Wow. I love to be reminded of Annette's story at Easter. It reminds me of a God who loves us and resurrected himself. Praise the Lord, eh? You're going to hear a greeting from our missionary couple, followed by this young lady, Veronica. And just like to say hi to Ishe's family, and I believe it's Zimbabwe, online this morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. The Lord bless as we continue.
Good morning. Happy Easter. Darcy and Leanne McAllister coming to you from Asia.
We just want to encourage you as you head towards Easter this year. It's been a crazy year, but Easter Sunday represents that moment when the world first experienced the risen and victorious Jesus. And so we want to remind you that the tomb is empty.
Good morning. Happy Easter. Darcy and Leanne McAllister coming to you from Asia.
We just want to encourage you as you head towards Easter this year. It's been a crazy year, but Easter Sunday represents that moment when the world first experienced the risen and victorious Jesus. And so we want to remind you that the tomb is empty and that we can actually experience the risen Christ today.
Yes, so move over, COVID. Get off the bus, political uncertainty. Take a back seat.
you sound like a song from the 70s, but go ahead.
Yeah, get off the bus, Gus.
The point is, Jesus is the center.
Yes, and he has not moved center.
Sometimes it's hard to remember that in the times that we've been living in. But look to Jesus.
Look to Jesus.
Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance and the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus endured the cross and defeated death so that you and I and all of you can experience the freedom and life we were created for.
So his work is completed.
Yes.
And now it's our turn to fix our eyes on him, to trust him, to depend on him, to lean on him and experience all that he has for us. Because in spite of COVID, he has a plan for us. It is a good one. So give him yourself today. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hello, church family. It's me, Veronica. I was asked to do a testimonial, and week before, Pastor Rich asked me, I was really feeling that in my heart, that when I was praying, that it was time for me to give a testimonial to the church. And I was like, well, should I just call him right now? And God's like, just settle down, Veronica. An opportunity will present itself. And I was happy to get a message from the pastor to do that. So I wanted to just say that I'm going to mention some aspects of trauma in case anyone is uncomfortable with that, but I'm not going to go into too much detail. So my early childhood was a lot of in and out of the hal. I had grand mal seizures often and felt all my friends were nurses. Luckily, my mom was always curious about medicine and changed my diet so that I became seizure free at 6 years old. We attended a church, and soon after becoming seizure free and not always being in the hal, my mom was a single mom and she was introduced to a missionary in our church. People said great things about him. He had children as well, and soon they were married. Unfortunately, this was not a happy ending. This man was a wolf in sheep's clothing. Soon after the marriage, he cut us off from the church and systematically separated us and tortured us children for fun. This part of my childhood was filled with food and water deprivation till hallucination, solitary confinement, being told I was stupid and stubborn and I needed to be trained like a dog and beaten with blocks of wood, rape, encouragement to commit suicide, and encouraged to use drugs. It was always brought back to the Bible that if I did well in school, I was beaten because I should not take pride in my work. And if I dropped below an A, I was beaten because I did not honor God and I was lazy. And when that didn't work, my punishment would be to watch my younger siblings be beat in my place. So, very disturbed individual. It sometimes makes it hard for me to grasp normal people's childhoods. I prayed to God and he sent me help to survive, but after 10 years, I only had a sliver of my sanity left. I was able to escape and press charges, and after a long public trial where many people walked out of my life because the trauma was uncomfortable for them, that man went to prison, and he's still in prison. So I'm glad for that, for safety of society. After this, I was angry with God, and although I prayed, it was to tell God how angry I was. My health declined. The trials were a few years and my peers stopped talking to me. It made school difficult. I dropped out of university and then work. I was put on many medications for my progressing nerve pain to the point I could hardly walk. I started different types of therapy. Some therapists made me feel pathetic, giving me excuses why I can't work, study, or have healthy relationships. I had doctors tell me if I didn't take medication that led to liver failure, that because of my trauma, I would end up a single mother because I was incapable of having relationships. I chose not to believe those people. I did have two very good therapists who were Christian, and they had solution-based techniques that would help heal my brain. I noticed that some of the things that I was being taught were similar to what the Bible taught. I soon became ready to return to religion. My relationship with God strengthened, and pretty soon he told me to find a church. I was still nervous because I did not trust Christians. I was led to this church about a year ago. I felt so welcomed, and having others to share my faith has strengthened my relationship with God. In this last year, I have returned to work and school. My health is still a balance, but I am doing everything the doctor told me was impossible. I am so happy. I still have struggles. Being a Christian doesn't make life on easy mode. To the contrary, God gives you more to overcome, but he makes you strong enough to do it with him. What I love about the Easter story is Jesus understands whatever struggle you are facing and has faced worse. I can go to Jesus with my problems, and unlike my friends who want me to be quiet or not talk about it because it's difficult or traumatizing, he never tells me to give up or gives me pity, but instead reminds me of the power I have. Jesus had the strength to lead others, forgive his tormentors, right until they killed him, and he still didn't give up. He rose again. I wish I had a heart like that, and I'm working on that. Jesus paid that price for all of us. Thank you so much for welcoming me into the church. God bless every single one of you. And happy Easter. I hope everyone finds their strength in God to overcome whatever problems they're facing, and that we all grow stronger together as a church family. Thank you.
Well, good morning, church. Wow. What a morning. Well, Pastor Rich asked me about a month ago if I'd be available to share on Easter Sunday what Jesus means to me. And about the only word that sums that up is everything. But that doesn't tell you why he means everything to me, so I'll fill you in on a bit of that. I can look back over my life right from the beginning, and I can see how very present God was in every step I've taken. And I'm sure you can too, without a shadow of a doubt, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've talked to hundreds of people about this, and they can each recount times of God's intervention in their situations. What I'm talking about is those moments in life when we find ourselves, after exhausting all earthly resources and skills, uttering a simple, "God help." Even if it's not audible and the situation changed in a positive direction, we just can't write it off to coincidence. He hears those cries from our hearts and responds in love, and we're directed out of the situation and we move on. So I can look back over my life right from the beginning, and I can see how very present God was in every step. He was always there, even when I wasn't paying attention and strayed off trying to figure out my own life in my own way, and when I carried on in that way after the situation had passed. Okay, God, thanks for your help. See you next time. Living life my way got really messy. That got messy for people that were close to me too, and they got hurt. Just a fact, people that are hurting hurt people. At 28 years, all my bad choices came crashing down on me, and I was overwhelmed with the consequences of doing it my way. I went into a deep depression, carrying a heavy, heavy load of guilt that pushed me to a very dark place. My head was flooded with dark thoughts that were leading me to the conclusion that the world and my family would be a better place without me living in it. I made an exit plan and waited out the day, looking after the children and watching TV. Maybe you're doing that right now. You're sitting and you're watching this broadcast. There were only two TV stations in Prince George in November of 1978. There was a hockey game on one channel, and the other, the program was called 100 Huntley Street. They were broadcasting a fundraising program for 6 hours to fund the show for the next year. I remember swearing at them and accusing them of just wanting people's money. Heard that one? More dark thoughts entered my mind, ugly, critical thoughts towards them. But then something happened that started to change my mind as I really listened to what they were saying. Through the day, they had many different people sharing their life stories, and each of them emphatically stated that having a relationship with Jesus, instead of just a religious knowledge about him, had revolutionized and changed their lives in a very powerful and positive way. They talked about having a void in their lives that they'd not been able to fill in any other way, and that Jesus filled that void. I call that the God hole. It's a space where nothing else in our lives will ever fit, and it's in each of us. They spoke as though they had already passed from death into life. Over and over, I was hearing the same account. We heard it again today. Then someone spoke to me, not audibly, but the words were definitely not coming from my own head at that moment, or from the source of those dark thoughts that I'd suddenly realized had been coming into my head from someone other than myself. I thought I was going kind of nuts. Devil on one side, Lord on the other. On the dark side, I was hearing things like, "You're such a loser. You're just ruining your children. You're a terrible wife. You're a terrible mother." And there were a lot of other derogatory words that I was being called. I could go on and on about that. It was all so dark and oppressive, a horrible, oppressive bullying. However, when the other someone else spoke, he called me by my name. The voice said, "Deborah, you're ready to give your life up anyway. why not let me have a shot at it? That was my introduction to Jesus. It made me chuckle, and I responded, if that's you, Jesus, and you're everything that these people have been saying about you, then for what it's worth, you can have my life. I don't really want to die physically, but I can't go on living like this. If you're not all of what these people are saying about you, if this is just some figment of my imagination, time will tell, and I can carry this out later if you're not for real. I'd been tricked by love, or what I thought was love, so many times before, and I had bag loads of trust issues. Now the people on the program were encouraging people to say a prayer with them. I prayed with them, asking God to forgive me for the crimes I committed against His holy laws, the Ten Commandments, which are written on each of our hearts. I then invited Jesus to come into my life. I opened the door of my heart where He was knocking. I could have told Him no or yes to come in. The choice was mine, and I had the free will to choose, just as we all do. God doesn't want puppets. He wants children. After we prayed, they were encouraging people to phone in and tell someone the decision that had been made. That was the longest walk to the phone I've ever made. There was a flurry and a flood of dark side activity that was trying to keep me from making that call. Yelling, screaming, hollering, dark voices. But by the third attempt, I phoned just as the program went off the air. David Maines, the founder of 100 Huntley Street, answered the phone. He said, how can I help you? I replied, I just felt I needed to call and tell someone that I invited Jesus into my life. He asked my name and said, welcome to the family of God, Deborah. You've just made the most important decision of your life. He took down contact information and said they were closing up the studio and chasing them out, so he'd have someone get back to me. Right away, the dark side thoughts came back. Yeah, sure, pass the buck. They've got their money and they're on the run. I thought, we'll see. David Maines followed through with the contact information, and God sent some family members from his family to come alongside. My new life had begun. I was part of God's family. I did die that night. I died to myself. I agreed to God's desire to adopt me and became part of a family I never really had. And now, just like the others sharing their stories on the program, I'd passed from death to life that night. I'd been truly born again, and I eventually learned what the words born again really mean, a spiritual birth, a second birth, created by God, not like our first birth, created by the passions of our humanness. As I began to read the Bible, I began to have all those questions answered. You know the ones. Who am I? Why am I? What's life all about anyway? I believe that God created this beautiful earth and universe, and that He left an instruction manual for us. Who creates or invents anything that doesn't leave behind a manual? The Bible, the Holy Scriptures, are God's instruction manual, His repair manual when needed, a complete guide. We could call it the complete idiot's guide to living. Now, God would never say that because He'd never call any of us an idiot. That's my joke. That's dark side stuff. But so my joke, good or bad, take it for what it's worth. So for a short time then, after reading a lot of the New Testament section of the Bible, I tried to start walking it out in my own strength. Still, the I'll do it my way, which was not strength at all. Well, that didn't last very long because I'd already failed miserably at that. So I asked the Lord what to do, and He told me He would send His Holy Spirit to help me, and that I should receive Him when He came. That His Holy Spirit would be my tutor in learning how to be a child of the King. He would give me divine strength in life. Then I read how Jesus met with His disciples before He ascended into heaven, and He said to them, now go and wait. For the Holy Spirit, He will give you power and ability to live this new life. In Acts 1, 5, and 8, you can read about that. Jesus was leaving earth, but He would be sending the help they and every believer following would need to walk in God's ways. He was saying, I don't want you to go out and try to do this in your own human strength. It will always fail. There's a lot of people that have given their lives to Jesus, but never received the Holy Spirit to help them and tutor them and walk them through this life, give them strength and power from above. Then, when Holy Spirit came, it was a very distinct visit, and Jesus had prepared me to welcome him. Some of the family surrounded me and prayed, and it was like scales falling from my eyes. Where I had been blind, I could now see. And it's been an incredible ongoing experience as my journey's path has been illuminated. Wow, the journey, it's been incredible. God's taken me to mountaintops, deep, dangerous valleys, through pleasant and treacherous times, and has kept me through them all. He's given me the privilege and giftings of being useful in many different areas and arenas of life. And Jesus has proved himself the way, the truth, and the life over and over and over again. So that is why Jesus is everything to me. When Pastor Rich asked me if I would share what Jesus means to me today, none of what is following was known to either or any of us. Jason had already scheduled Lisa to lead us in worship in the team and had asked previously if I'd be part of the worship team as well. So here we all are this morning, just as God had directed. I'm physically here today, truly by the all-sufficient grace and power of God. A few weeks ago, I started having some strange episodes with my body. There were four distinct episodes. I would feel strange, get a bit disoriented, and experience numbness and lack of coordination on my right side. After the fourth episode, which was the most profound, I went to emergency on March 24th, and after a CT scan, I was told that I'm packing a brain tumor around the left parietal lobe, which controls motor ability and word processing. So I wanted to get this all out today, because I don't know what's going to be after. So what an interesting location and attack on my particular body by this thing. It's in the area, it attacks motor ability and word processing. I'm waiting on God for either a miracle or for the intervention of his on-earth healing team, our wonderful body mechanics that he has trained up. I've been connected with a VGH neurosurgeon and waiting to hear from them. However God leads, I'm good with it. He's been so faithful and true. I am trusting his leading and direction as he carries me through this leg of my journey. For those of you who have come alongside so far, thanks so much for your prayers. They're like the warm blankets you get at the hospital. And boy, have I felt those prayers and the comfort and joy they bring. Thank you. You have been so very special to me, each of you. So I was admitted to hospital on the 24th and got settled into some life and death situations. Two of my roommates became family during that stay. One's gone on, and the other, I'm not sure because I haven't been able to contact her since. So there's always purpose in every step where he leads. There was opportunity to plant some seeds too along the way with some of the staff and people that were caring for me, and we had some wonderful visits. On the 29th, I woke at 3 a.m. and had a visit from Jesus. There was an overwhelming sense of God's presence before I opened my eyes, and I began to smile. I sensed that Jesus had been sitting there through the night, watching over me. I sensed that he wanted to give me a hug. My arms moved instinctively around me in a hug, but not towards him. He was hugging me through my arms. Tears welled, and his love, comfort, and joy flooded over me. I chuckled. I said, "No more, Lord Jesus. I can't get all plugged up before surgery if that's happening next." I sensed him chuckle back, along with the angels that I sensed were with him. It was just an all-around smile fest. There was such a taste of the atmosphere beyond in the room. It was so pure, so holy, so untainted, so unmarred by the things of this world. It's really hard to find the words for this space I found myself in, but definitely an incredible draw for wanting more. During that visit and through the days following, there's many things he's been showing me that he wants me to pass on to you. Pray for me as I try to get it right and hold fast to what's good in what I share with you. Next. The important part of this message today is not my story or my journey. Each one of us has a journey, and God is faithful to each of us. Even though I'm sure you've been able to relate to some of my story and some of the stories that we've heard from others, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when we can share. No, the important thing and the important part of this message today is Jesus' story, his journey, and your story, and your journey, and what he wants to do for you today, which will require your response and permission. It's not a coincidence that you're hearing this. It's one of those God moments where he has heard the cries of your hearts and wants to help, but needs your permission. So please listen carefully and don't allow any distractions just now. God showed me a picture of the world when I was talking with him. And all over the world, people are crying out to him right now. All over the world. And this is a day for many divine spiritual blessings. As you take hold of them, it's your job to reach out and take hold of them. It's like a big, like I saw, a big bomb of balm, healing balm that God's wanting to pour out from the storerooms of heaven on the whole earth. It's just so big, so huge. It's about to be released from the storerooms of heaven, and we need to be ready to open our hearts to receive. Now, every year at Christmas, we're reminded of that man that was born on this earth through the womb of a young woman who'd never known human passion. She was approached by one of God's angels to present God's desire to impregnate her with his only begotten son. She gave her permission. She said, "Here I am, the handmaiden. Be it done according to your will." We need to have a heart like that. God, you give me life. Let my life be lived according to your will. You can read the whole story in Amazing Birth Announcement recorded from eyewitness accounts in the book of Luke in the scriptures. Please take time to read it. No other birth announcement has ever been presented year after year or fulfilled years of prophecy before. Reading on through the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we could read about Jesus' life journey. Be encouraged to do that. Jesus was totally human, just like you, just like me, being born of his mother, but he was totally divine, being fathered by God. And God wants to adopt you and father you, give you spiritual birth. He never broke any of God's laws, never once, even in his humanness for his whole life. Originally, because of violations of God's holy laws in the beginning by Adam, who was made of the dust of the earth, things began to die. And without God's sustaining power, there can only be failure. The consequences of those failures always leads to death. We've all broken those holy laws that are written in our hearts, and we have no way to deny it. So each of us has a physical time of death ahead, as well as an eternal one, unless we make a decision otherwise. None of us in our own strength have been able to obey completely God's holy laws. It's humanly impossible. Our efforts at living godly life would be like all of us lining up on a pier in Vancouver and trying to jump to Vancouver Island. Some of us might get a little farther off the end of the pier, but we're all going to fall short of the mark. Jesus was the only one who successfully made the jump. He became the bridge between us and God. And now, through him, we can have a relationship with God. He, like his mom before him, set out of his humanness when he knew he was going to be killed. "Not my will, but yours, Father." And it took him to a Roman cross to be crucified horribly. We remember that part of his story on Good Friday. He physically died and was buried in a tomb. Heaven and eternity are places where there are no violations of God's order or design for life in the universe. No violations. So we cannot take any with us when we die. or we can't go there. But Jesus had never broken any of those holy laws. Death couldn't hold him. It had to let him go. He was acquitted, and he came up out of the grave and lives forevermore. He died an innocent man. It had to let him go. Today is Easter Sunday, and we celebrate this very profound, life-changing event. Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, who would save us all from the penalty and consequences of holy law violations. So now let's talk about how this is all relevant for you and me and for all of us today in our own lives and journeys. God's family is the only true multicultural society that works. And this is his word to you, regardless of your color, nationality. This is a universal message to all humankind. You are invited and wanted and welcomed by the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the God of the universe, who loves you and loved you enough to send his son into this world to pay the penalty for your crimes. He's hearing the cries of your heart. This sound that I heard of people crying out from their hearts, and that God was hearing it, and he wants people to know that. He wants you to know that. Wherever you are right now, sitting in your room, all alone, you're not alone. God is there. He's knocking at the door of your hearts, and he wants to come in. And this is your part. This is the part where you need to say, Jesus, come in. If he's knocking at the door of your house, you could go and say, come on in here, or you can say, I don't want you in here. You have that free will, that choice. But he wants to help you so much, and he wants you to begin a new life, being powered and provided for by him. So many people need healing and restoration and refreshing. In our systems are failing people. I just spent some time in the hospital, and it's an interesting journey. Yet Jesus is able to heal and do miracles for you, just like we heard about Annette. It's my sis, it's so awesome. Thanks for sharing that today. That's really helpful. Oh, Jesus wants to tell you your next step in life, encourage you, give you all you need for your journey. Every situation and every need, tell him yours. Tell him what you need today. I just want to, please pray with me this prayer. If this is touching your heart, and I know it is because Jesus told me that there's going to be so many people who really needed to hear this. Let's pray. God, forgive me for violating your holy laws. It's in my human nature to do that. Jesus, thank you for paying the death penalty for my violations. I hear you knocking at the door of my heart, and I'm saying, please, come in. I want to get to know you and learn to walk with you. Please send your Holy Spirit to tutor and guide me and help me learn your ways. Amen. Now, cry out to God, tell him your need, reach out to him. He wants you to verbalize what you need right now. When that happens, I have a strong sense that there's going to be divine healings, some miracles. They may be instant, they may take a while, like with Annette's, and be raised into wholeness off sick beds, in our overwhelmed systems, and even some physical resurrections. I feel a balm from heaven is about to be poured out like we have not seen in our lifetimes as of yet. Members of God's family reside all around the world. So if you're getting us on the other side of the world today, hey, grab a hold of it. So find those people. Find them and get connected. You're not alone anymore. And be on guard, because those dark voices will try to hold you back, just like they did me. Their mandate is to rob, steal, and destroy. And God's been trying to speak to us through the movies. Look at Star Wars. Look at the Lord of the Rings. Look at Independence Day, right? It's all about good and evil. And God has been speaking through the movies because people haven't been going to church, right? So it's his world. It's my Father's world. He'll get to us one way or the other. It's always been about good and evil, and it will be till all that is prophesied has come to pass and Jesus returns. For those of you who responded to God through this message, I want to be the first to say to you, like was said to me, welcome to the family of God. You just made the most important decision of your life. And please do what I did. Call and let someone know about the decision you've made today, and let them have the privilege of welcoming you into the family of God. And when the answers come, when the miracles come, when the healings come, remember to thank God and tell others the wonderful things that he's done and is doing for you as you journey on. Let your Bible open. Get it off the shelf. Dust it off. Get a copy that you can understand and read. Old King James is Old King James. Get something new. And get one. It's still, you know what? The Bible is still the best-selling book around the world out of any book that's ever been printed. It just blows them away. And read for yourself and let God speak to you one-on-one. Spend time with him. Have coffee with God. Have supper with God. Read for yourself this living instruction manual. So that's why Jesus is my everything. And I pray and hope that you'll let him be your everything. So God bless you with all the wonderful things he has in store for your life. Draw on him. He loves you with an everlasting love. I'm going to just finish this with the words to songs. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today, I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow we don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. God bless you. Pastor Rich, maybe you could come and give some contact information here at the church so people can start somewhere.
Awesome. I just love hearing these stories today, and I appreciate Veronica and Annette and Deb for sharing their heart and life with us. And so we want to know your story. You know, if you are somebody who's making a decision, taking a step of faith this morning to accept Christ into your life and take the journey that Deb did, then, I'd love for you to get a hold of us so we can help. We're a family. You can do that online there on our website, PrinceGeorgePentecostalChurch.com. You can go to the Prayer and Praise tab or one of the Pastors tabs and email us, and we will respond to your email and get a hold of you. Also, you can phone the church, and if nobody answers, because the office is kind of in and out this COVID season, but we get messages daily, so we will get back to you right away, and I encourage you, as Deb did, to reach out and to do that. And, you know, for the family of God, you know, you've heard these stories, you know your story, you might be even going through something right now, and Pastor Tiffany and I would also encourage you to reach out to us and do the same, and let us know how we can support you in this time. But God is great, and God is good, and God is wonderful, and I appreciate Easter so much, and I love the story, and it's all about Jesus died, conquered death, and rose from the grave, and gives us new life. And I want to continue this theme next Sunday morning, but what can we do better than close an Easter service by singing the praises of Jesus? So let's praise Jesus, and Pastor Tiffany will come up in a few moments and just release us. But God bless you. He is risen.
Oh, it's good. God is good. Church, I pray that you came expecting, because God did not disappoint, and he never does. So, yeah, would you just be equipped and encouraged to go out and take that your story, just as everyone here has shared so humbly and obediently their story and how God has used and worked in their lives. Would you do the same? Because there's power in your testimony and in the name of Jesus. So let's pray. God, this isn't something we keep to ourselves, Lord, but this is good news. This is life and death news. This is life-changing news. So, Father, just give us your boldness to equip us to just share it with those around us, to walk in love, to walk in faithfulness, and to honor you. And, God, would we celebrate today? Lord, we celebrate you, and we thank you. In your precious name, amen. Amen.